Hey guys, welcome back to the B-List. I'm B. I've got a return guest here. I love her. I can't remember how many times she's been here, but it's Jeth Rothschild. She's the host of her own podcast, Hot Takes and Deep Dives. And she's got a new podcast where you're kind of like, would you call yourself the host or the narrator of it? Or both, I guess. It's like...
I'm the creator of it, but I guess I'm the host, narrator. Yeah.
All of it. She is the host or narrator.
I'm the Bethany.
The Bethany of new podcast series called Finding Fire Island. Guys, I want you guys to check this one out. I checked it out. I've been meaning to for a while, but it came out. And obviously, as summer goes, things get so busy and I don't even like listen to that many podcasts, but I'm so glad that I did.
We texted about this. Yeah. You and I were texting when I was literally on my way to Provincetown. And okay. You were like really shot out of a cannon that day that we were texting. And I was like, babe. I'm literally pulling up to the house, like about to like meet my friends for a week. Let's put a pause on this.
Yeah.
So I guess we're going to pick it up right now.
I forget what was going on. Something was going on in my life.
We were talking Housewives. That was like the very, very, it was like the last Saturday of July.
Okay. Well, August was shit. So yeah.
Can I just say.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, we have a private relationship, but I just want to say like, I want to pour one out for Stevie. Like,
Thank you.
I have a fellow long-haired Chihuahua, Piper.
Mm-hmm.
And
adorable.
I mean, Stevie lived Stevie was like into her teens.
She was 18 years old.
That's unbelievable. See, like, should a dog live that long?
That's what I'm saying. So like, I haven't talked too much about her, but as you guys know, Stevie, my dog, passed. And, but she was 18 and I've had her the entire time. It's kind of crazy. I just aged myself, but she, if you look up on Google for the type of dog, I mean, average is like 13 to 15 years. So I must've been doing something right.
She was long hair Chihuahua, right?
I think actually technically she was a Papillon. So in their family. Yeah. So it's quite different, still kind of similar age range and stuff. And really similar sensibilities, and they look exactly alike, but yeah, she was a Papillon. But, I mean, she lived a really long life. And honestly, towards the end, it's like, you know, my mom was like, you're keeping her alive for yourself. And I was like, I know.
You couldn't make it to the Labor Day on Fire Island.
I was hoping, but then you know what? I was like, I would not want to put her through it traveling at that point with such an old dog.
No, I know. I'm joking. Was it like after she saw the chicken?
No, I did
like,
want to.
Was she like, you know, I lived through the chicken tender gate. Check please, like I got
it's like also that was our happy place too. This is going to be a very Fire Island heavy episode because like I said, you're the host of and creator of the new podcast Finding Fire Island, which I want you guys to check out. Basically does like an entire surveillance of like the entire history of Fire Island, so it's so interesting. It goes from like the history of tea to one of my favorite episodes was actually one that's just called Winter, and it's just about what happens in the 375 days. It's how many days of the year? It's like 100 and something days where it's not really being occupied.
Yeah, I mean like winter, well, it's really just like the entire off season. So
yes,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like right now we're technically in the shoulders. We're in like the shoulder season, but once November hits,
yeah.
Like November to April is technically the off season. And there are only like 20 people who really between the Pines and Cherry Grove who stay on and have winterized houses. And when I came up with the idea for this series, I always knew the final episode was going to be called Winter and it was going to center on the year rounders. Cause I think it's so fascinating.
It is.
I'm so glad you liked it.
No, I really, really enjoy it. I'm not just saying that, guys, because she only told me to watch or listen to two episodes and I ended up listening to four and I'm going to finish the rest. I just haven't gone to Cherry Groves yet because obviously I don't spend that much time in Cherry Grove.
But
I'm skipping around. Yeah, but I do that.
Okay.
But just real quick, so just to wrap up, Stevie. No, Stevie, that was one of her favorite places. And so I think that, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, but I think that's also why I have kind of such an affinity for the island is because I've never been there without Stevie. This was actually my first time Labor Day that I just got back from. So I've been going for so long.
How was it? I want to know, how was it without her, and then I want a whole review of your week.
Well, let's get into it. So first off, do you want to talk about the podcast first a bit? Let's talk about the podcast, and then I'll talk about my experience, right?
Okay, sure. Well, let me ask you, like, so which ones did you listen to? Like, did you listen to the Pines episode?
Well, I wrote right here. I listened to Pines. I listened to Gay Summer Camps. Gay Summer Camp was my first one that I listened to, and I really liked it. I actually cried during it. Because you were, it is, it's such a, like, an apt description of what Fire Island is, which is essentially like summer camp, the way they, all these different guests basically come on, and a lot of recognizable names that you guys might know, Joel Kim Booster, Matt Rogers, who were both in the Fire Island movie, Ben Rimmelauer, who wrote Luann's cabaret show with her, DJ Lena,
Margaret Cho,
DJ Lena, who's an icon, Brian Moylan, who wrote the Housewives book. I forget what the name of his is. I'm sorry.
His is actually just called The Housewives.
Housewives, right. Okay. It came out before the other one. His is good.
You know who, maybe you haven't heard him yet, because he's in, like, he starts at the Pines episode, and then he's sort of throughout the rest of the series is this guy who Ben, I'm a very tight with Ben. So he was part of, like, my sort of think tank of, you know, who to really speak to. And he's like, you need to get Paul Rudnick. And shame on me, because I was like, who's Paul Rudnick? He's like, I'm going to connect you. He wrote the first Wives Club, Sister Act.
Oh, wow.
The Addams Family Values.
Oh, wow.
Like, he wrote all the, he's like this, you know, incredibly talented, iconic, like, he's an iconic gay screenwriter. And he lived in the Pines in the Pyramid House, which is all the way on the eastern side.
On Ocean.
If you go all the way to Ocean in the corner of Seattle, you will see the Pyramid House. And he lived there for 16 years.
Yeah, that's so insane. I listened to him talk about it.
Is he not unbelievable?
Yeah, he's great. I haven't, like, met him, but I mean, I just like listening to his stories. I'm just hypnotized. Yeah.
I felt like when Ben Rimmelauer, and also Brian Moylan, I used nearly all of their material. Like, there was hardly anything. It's like they speak it, like, when they speak, it's like poetry. It's either, like, hilarious, or, like, they know what to do. Like, they know how to nail the point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Daniel Nardiccio as well, who now owns the Ice Palace and runs the underwear party. He's hilarious.
Yeah. He had some interesting stories too. But the Gay Summer Camp, I think that was the first episode. It's the first episode, and that's the first one I listened to, and I actually cried towards the, it was like about three quarters of the way in, because you were talking about your personal experience about Fire Island, which I already knew myself, us knowing each other, and you had gotten out of a long relationship, over eight years, and right before the pandemic, and
literally like weeks. Like, and we didn't know the pandemic was coming, but it was.
In more ways than one. And, but you found Fire Island around that time and had a different kind of relationship with it. And you were talking a bit about how kind of like being thrust into this community gave you kind of like a new life and a new outlook on life and a new kind of lease on life. And I don't know, it hit me because I had just gone back from Labor Day, and it's my first time being there without my dog, my Stevie. And so for me, it just kind of like hit the same way, because I have to kind of appreciate different things about Fire Island and experience it in a different way. But going to what we were talking about earlier, my experience there, I had a great time. I had good friends there, but I'll tell you some funny stories, because like I am generally, I don't know if many people know this about me, and I don't talk about this a lot on this podcast, but like, I am generally a loner. Like, I do really well in large groups. I'm an affable person. I can be really social, but I have like truly 6 or 7 good friends. You know what I mean? And then I have tons of acquaintances. I enjoy meeting people, but then my social battery buzzes out, and then I'm like, okay, get away. I gotta get away. And that, I think that like, I noticed that about myself more this time, just because I didn't have my dog and I'm just in a different place in life now. And we would be in really crowded, like tea or something like that. if you guys don't know, T is kind of like the meeting spot. It's every single day around like between 5 and 8 p.m. And we'd be there or somewhere like, you know, the Under a Party or some crazy crowded place. And I have like such a limited now social battery where I can like do it if I'm not drunk. And I'm just like, I gotta go, guys. If I'm not feeling it, I can't. That's one thing.
Well,
about
I'm the same. I gotta say, like, I totally relate to that.
People like, are like, no, stay. I'm like, no, I'm gonna go. And I really enjoy just like going off and being by myself. And it sounds kind of like somber and melancholy, same. But I just like need it to like recalibrate. Do you know what
Let
I mean?
Me ask you, are you a late night person or no?
I can't. No. And like on a weekday, I am a very early bird. Like I am reading a book and I'm asleep by like 11. But when you get out there, I could stay up, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
I'm fascinated by people. I mean, maybe they're just on drugs. I don't know. I'm fascinated by people who can, like, I would, sometimes there are shows I want to go to that don't really start until like 11 o'clock,
yeah,
for example,
yeah.
Like Busted at the Ice Palace. There are times that I stay in both the Pines, yeah, and Cherry Grove. And there are times that I'll be like, okay, I know that this trip, I want to be sure to see like Busted, the Assassins, and like XYZ. So I'm definitely going to stay in Cherry Grove so that I am steps from my pillow.
Yeah.
As soon, because otherwise I won't go. It'll stress me out like that. I'm gonna be too exhausted.
But see, like, no, I won't go home and go to sleep. I'll just go walk on the beach by myself and be like Lana Del Rey. Like, I'll be in my like, yeah, I'm like very much that mode. I'll stay up until 3 or 4 a.m. in the morning. I'll just be like sitting alone by the pool or staring at the stars. I'm like, I don't know. There's just something.
I'm
like,
so I jealous wanna, of that.
I wish I had a lot of the time this time, and I don't want people to be offended. But it's just like,
but also you're grieving.
I think so. I don't think I've realized that I'm grieving. Yeah. I didn't realize it. But yeah, no, going back to you talking about community, that just really hit me and it made sense for me. And I was like, yeah, no. Yeah, I'm just I think I'm in like a transitional period of my like life. I mean, I've had Stevie in my space for 18 years. I don't know. The longest I've ever been away from her has been, I think, like a week ever. So
yeah.
Ugh. But it's okay, I'm doing really well. But it's just yeah. You know,
so tell me more about, okay, this is what I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
and
sorry,
maybe
to get dark,
just...
everybody, I don't know if that wasn't too dark. No, that wasn't
no
dark.
We're
yeah.
being real.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to know, I know that when you went over Memorial Day, you mm-hmm. were commenting a lot about how there were like juice heads in the gym, like gorilla
oh, yeah.
juice heads, just like
so
falling
scary.
Out the last time
the Fallout Boys.
By the way, I've worked out in that gym. Like I have. Yeah, yeah, like there's been like when a Tuesday rolls around, I'm like, yeah, well, I'm doing fucking nothing. I might as well get a workout now. They could put some more air conditioning in there. I will, like, I would appreciate.
Yeah, it's really small room, guys. It does the trick, but.
But I want to know, what was you like when I was watching your stories at the end of this trip, you were kind of like, I can't wait to get the fuck out of here. Were you just being funny or were you being serious?
I was half being funny and half being serious. Like, you know, it's just like, it's the best place on earth, but too much of anything. I just want to like, I wanted my bed. I wanted to like light a scented candle in my apartment. I love coming home to a fully clean apartment. Like, I just love my space. And I just surrounded by people all the time. I think like I'm getting different. You know what I mean? I don't know.
But
I had a great time. I had a great time.
I want to ask you of your combined times this summer, because this is a question that I would ask people when I was doing the interviews for the series. I would ask them like, what over the years, like what have been like your high highs and your low lows on Fire Island? So I want to hear from you. You can do either this week or just even collectively all of your time there.
The funnest times I've ever had in Fire Island has not even been out at a club or a bar. It's been like, and the crazy thing about it is, don't let, and for people, I'm sure people have listening that have never even been to Fire Island, don't let social media fool you. Sometimes you see these people in like these gorgeous big houses and they're so like large and expansive and they look so expensive. Sometimes those houses have like the most negative energy. I go, I'm very big on energy. That as we know, that island is full of ghosts. I just feel like sometimes those houses just aren't the vibe. The best times I've had are in the crappiest houses with my best friends. And it's like, well, we're this rinky-dink shitty house, but you know what? We're going to make the best of it. And it'll be like the worst weather. It'll be like, we'll go Memorial Day because that's like what we do. So it's like, it'll guaranteed to rain and be cold at night. But you know what? If you have a fireplace and you're just drunk, wine drunk, listening to Bonnie Raitt with me and my friend Will Davis dancing around in sun hats around the living room until 4 a.m. in the morning, that's like my highest of highs. Just like, you know what I mean? You don't need like all the bells and whistles. It is just like, just get there and the fun will have itself. I'm serious. And what, only boring people get bored.
Of course, obviously. Yeah. And what have been your worst of times?
It usually involves like when you bring love to the island, when you like have like some kind of relationship going on or you're talking to someone, just like leave expectations. Drama. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not saying that's for everybody, but I'm just saying that my worst times, it's like, you know, yeah. It ends up being like an episode of Siesta Key.
Can we talk about how that's funny? Can we talk about how? Well, first of all, did you see Luann on Thursday?
I did. Okay, so did you see my story? Someone sent me.
Yes,
it was like day two. I was there.
I'm Thursday, just remembering now. Yeah.
And my friend Mike Borowski, shout out Mike, DJ Mike Borowski. He DJs tea there sometimes, and then he DJs Divas at Sip and Twirl. And he
can I give you a fun fact about DJ Mike Borowski?
Yeah.
He is the one who runs the if you follow at the Fire Island Pines, he runs it.
Oh, really? That makes sense. Okay.
Because they would do a lot of promoting of the podcast.
They would post me a lot too. That's interesting. Okay, that makes sense.
And one time I was like, I would be like, thank you so much for sharing. And I'm like, by the way, like, who are you?
Yeah.
And he's like, it's DJ Mike. Like, oh my
he's
God.
He's the best. When I first started going out there, I would rent from him. That's how I met him. Yeah. Aww. And he would come visit the house.
Okay, Luann. But
he booked her. He books all the housewives. And then he was like, he kind of gave me a hint that she was going to be there. Most people that know me know I do not really like Luann very much. As a housewife, like I listen at what she's contributed to that like housewife's larger lexicon. Great. As a person, not really had the best experiences. But let's be real, most of the old Roni women, it's really hit or miss. Like, but
continuing your story, and then I have sort of like a strange Sonia thing that happened last week. But go on.
No, so Luann was there. Someone sent me a picture of her from, because obviously when anything goes down on that island, someone has to send me either a fight video or a celebrity sighting because they know I'll just post it, I guess. So that's what it is now. But so no, she was sitting having food at the canteen, and I was like to my friend, I was like, I wonder if she knows that she's feet away from history, the famous battle.
I bet she didn't know.
No clue. No, she was there. And then later that night at Divas at Sip and Twirl, we went and she came by and she started performing, or she didn't perform, but she stood behind the DJ booth, very like a la Paris Hilton.
But I saw her like push a gay away.
Oh, really?
She like grabbed the phone. A guy wanted to like, I think, take a photo with her. And I think she grabbed the phone to take the selfie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's the most Luann thing I've ever heard. I didn't personally see that, but I could check out.
No, the video is out there like floating.
That's amazing.
You can watch it. Yes.
Of course. Listen, I'm glad she's getting booked. My friend Jessel got her job.
What's her job?
No, I mean on the Real Housewives of New York.
Oh, yeah. Wait, did you know her before?
Luann or Jessel?
No, Jessel. Did you know her before?
Knew of her. We have a friend in common. But we had never hung out. And then after, they kind of set up a meeting. Great lady. So much fun. So sweet.
How are you liking the new New York?
Well, we're definitely going to, I want to get into all that with you because I definitely want your opinion. But first, let's talk more about your podcast. Okay, so then the next episode I listened to was The Pines. Loved that. And it told the whole full history of The Pines and kind of how it originally started as a straight community for families. But then the gays kind of...
Did you know the whole history of John White and how
I knew
he was like a closeted
So I've heard this story so many times, but I just like, I feel like I lose the details. And now I feel like I will always remember because it's like so detailed. But I did know that it was originally like a straight neighborhood. You know, that's what they were trying to build it up as.
There was actually, if you Google, if anybody listening to this who's like a Fire Island person, if you Google the sign in the harbor, if you Google like family, this is a place for family values. There was a sign planted in the harbor that said, this is a family community. And it listed, it like enumerated, like, we discourage like Speedo bathing suits. We just, whatever is below the level of moral behavior. And there's talk now of rebuilding that sign to make it like, obviously like gay and fabulous, which I think they should absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
As like
a,
because they have to do, like, I think it's so great to preserve the history.
Like, I think that would have been amazing if they still had the original sign, like just leave it up. That would be like fucking hilarious. It's just, that would be guys hilarious. Making out in front of it.
Well, they used to do that.
Yeah.
And they would like vandalize it or they would steal the sign on weekends.
The crazy thing about Fire Island is that there's all this history and all of these people, Madonna used to go and Debbie Mazar and all these icons. But like nobody really took photos just because it wasn't the digital kind of age. Mm-hmm. And also it wasn't that kind of place. Like people would, the history of it is to go there and be secretive. So there was no real, everything you have now is through writings and through just like, I don't want to say survivors. It's like not like it's like a Hurricane Fire Island survivor, but like they're just people that are still around to tell their stories. You know what I mean? So that's why I think that this podcast is so important.
Thank you. I tried to get like the sort of like the people are saying like, oh, I, but the overwhelming like thing note that I got from people is like, I love hearing from the OGs, like. Yeah. Pansy, who created he's the one who like kicked off the invasion, which is like the annual July 4th event. And, you know, I have several people who have been there from like the 50s, 60s and 70s. And I think those people truly have the most interesting stuff to say because they've lived it.
DJ Lena had some really great stories and I want to get into those later actually on the bonus episode. And we'll talk more about tea and all of that. Yeah, I don't know. There's just like so many things I love about Fire Island. When I'm there, I'm like, you know, the underwear party is like one of my least favorite, but then from a kitsch factor, it's like, from a kitsch standpoint, it's like still fun to like do for a minute, but I'll tell you my story. Okay. So I have a story about this pastime.
Okay.
And you're gonna laugh. So it's like, we go to the underwear party. I did not want to go. I was like, I don't want to go to Cherry Grove. I just want to stay in the Pines. I don't want to, it's like on a Friday night and you have to like go to this ice palace and everybody takes off all their clothes and has to put them in basically, well, we used to put them in trash bags, but now they upgraded and now it's like nice D-World underwear like bags. Mm-hmm. But so then you take off all your clothes and you're literally just walking around in like shoes and underwear. It's like, so I can't. And then, but I was like, whatever, we'll go, it'll be fun. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, we go and then I'm hanging out for like an hour. And I didn't even have that many drinks or anything. I was just like, I just don't want to be here. Like when I don't want to do something, I'm like, Steven, Will, everybody, you guys stay. I'm going to go. And they're like, you're going to take the ferry or there's like a ferry that takes you all the way back.
The water taxi.
Yeah, the water taxi. And then I was like, no, I'm just going to walk. Fuck it. Because I've done it so many times in the past before. But I haven't
walking
done it.
Walking on the beach or walking through the meat rack?
Meat rack.
No. Yes. No, that is disgusting.
It's not disgusting.
Yes, it is. You're literally walking through mud.
No. If you take the right way.
I feel like any way is full of mud. If it has rained in any capacity, it is muddy.
It didn't really rain, but okay. But get this. Okay. So that's where we take as my story. So like I get to the meat rack and I have anyone who knows me knows I have like chalk white shoes all the time. One thing about me, my shoes are always going to be very, very white, like white, white. And so I'm like, I get to the sand in the meat rack and I'm just like, ugh. Take off my shoes and I'm holding them like this. And I still have like most of my clothes in a bag. I think I'm still in there. I can't remember. I'm not even drunk, by the way, guys. I'm just tired and I just want to get home. And I'm like, fuck it. So I'm walking through this like basically quicksand of sand. And I start walking through this like, and I know all the ways through it because I've done it so many times before in the past. But for some reason, I took the wrong way and I ended up and I was like standing in front of a puddle of mud. And I was like, ugh.
See?
And then, but yeah, and no, and then it's like, but then it's like at that point where it's like, if I turn around, I'm going to have to walk so much further. You know what I mean? It's going to take twice. You know what I mean? So I was like, I'm just going to walk through it. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to step around it. I'm just going to step around it. And then I try to step around it. And I'm not in my bare feet, by the way. I was wearing socks because I was like, I at least wanted some kind of barrier. I know your face. And so I'm walking. And then all of a sudden I slip and I'm holding my white shoes. I fall in the mud. But no. I fall on my knees, but I'm still holding the shoes. So the shoes are still bright white.
Safe.
But
safe.
Everything else from my like waist is like.
I mean, this sounds like a scene out of Survivor.
It was ridiculous. And then people I tell the story to, they're like, oh my God, that's so sad. I'm like, no, it was like, I don't think you understand. I was alone and it's a full moon and I'm just sitting there and I'm standing there in the middle of the mud and I just start busting out laughing. Because of course, this would be, everyone else is like having fun at the underwear party, all drunk, making out, having fun. I'm like, I'm just in the mud with my white shoes.
I'll tell you something. Daniel Nardiccio, who is the creator of the underwear party, and mm-hmm. in what episode is it? I think it's the episode called Tea.
Yeah.
He talks about sort of, I sort of summarize the inspiration for creating the underwear party, how he originated it in New York City and then brought it to Fire Island 2 years later. And it's the longest running Friday night party. It's the longest running party for 20 years. And I was talking to somebody, actually somebody who's part of the podcast. I was talking to them the other week on Fire Island. And he's like, we were talking about Patti LuPone because I went to see Patti's show there the other week. And I was like, I wonder if Daniel made money on Patti. Mm-hmm. And he was like, he made money. Okay. Like Patti LuPone cost $50,000.
Oh, didn't.
And there were 400 seats. And the seats were I think the cheapest seat was around either like, it was like $199-ish.
Oh, wow.
Figure that. And then, but they went up to like 300. So if you do the math.
But that's a classic. I mean, like how many times in your life are you going to be able to see Patti LuPone, Broadway? I'm not even a musical, like I'm not even, but I know who Patti LuPone is. And I don't like. If the opportunity presented itself to go see her in such an intimate environment, I would probably
It was one of the most memorable live experiences ever. And I had seen Dina Martina there. I don't know if you've ever seen Dina, but Dina Martina is unbelievable. I saw her there actually over Memorial Day when you were there.
I saw her in P-Town.
The best. Like seeing her at the Ice Palace, like the room.
Yeah, it's the crappiest, like, guys. It's like the.
well, it's like when the crowd is like into the act, the energy is incredible.
It's raucous.
But the point of that about Patti was that Daniel has sort of found the secret sauce with the underwear party. Like he has made a fortune doing the underwear party because my friend was saying, like, basically it's alcohol plus sex. Mm-hmm. And it's something you can't do in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't allow the sex to be happening. But because it's in this weird location and it's certainly not policed, like a party isn't policed like that. And it's in like this behind this curtain. I think between alcohol, people will go because it's the opportunity for sex in a different way. Like this guy was explaining it to me. I'm like, but why not just go on Grindr? They're like, no,
it's different.
Yeah.
But the thing about it for me, it's more like the trash factor. But like, I don't like, I am very sex positive. I love everybody to do whatever the fuck they do. Just don't get any on me. I'm like, but I don't like me personally. Like, I don't like lead with sex. So it's just not my thing. Like I'll go and have a good time and get drunk. But then I'm like, people start like making out and like doing everything around me. I'm like, I gotta go. It's like someone's going to get something on me. And I just know that I'm going to.
Yeah.
That's just my, cause so. Anyway, so I walk home and I'm covered in mud and I finally get home and I just like get in the hot tub and just, relax.
Wow. But, why didn't you walk the beach back?
I usually do. So sometimes you can enter the meat rack. Well, not really you're on the beach part and then you can go over to the right and go to the beach. And I don't know. I was just looking at the sky and I was like, wow, I never get to see the stars anymore. My dumbass. And then I just, I'll just make a left here at this tree. And I don't know. It's been so many years too, because I don't really go to the underwear party ever. So I got,
mess.
My brain isn't what it used to be. I don't know. One time we were so drunk, me and my friend Jeff, He's gonna love this story. One time we're walking home and he's so drunk, we're on the beach and he's like, B, no, we gotta get it. Hold on, we gotta get an Uber. I was like, well, there's no Ubers out here, Jeff. Come on, Jeff. All right, come on. And it's like very like, come on. All right, Dorinda. That's
oh
not.
Oh my God.
No, there's so many good stories about Fire Island. My favorite thing about Fire Island though is the insects and the stars at night. Like you can hear them and you can see them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I love Divas.
I mean, my favorite thing at night is seeing the moon over the ocean.
Yeah.
I feel like it's so special. That's why I love doing the walk in the evening, like at 8 o'clock at night, where after the sun has set.
Yeah.
I think it's gorgeous. Like the moon, like just bouncing off of the water. It's to me, that's beautiful. What were you saying about divas?
When I was younger, I used to bring guys to just make out on the beach. I'd look at the moon. Okay, now look at me. Okay.
And then that's a good line. That is a good line.
Yeah, it's something the moon hits. Yeah, it's like very moonstruck. Yeah. Where was I going next? Okay, so I want to switch gears. Oh, there was a fight, by the way. There was another fight at the canteen, apparently.
No.
Someone's there's something very haunted about that space, guys. I didn't see it. I was upstairs at the pavilion, but someone later on sent me the next day. They were like, B, I caught this fight video. They were mostly just like yelling and screaming and pushing each other, but no one really connected. But there's something about that place in front of the canteen that people just like feel like a violent spirit comes out. I don't know, but this, stay away. That food is haunted.
Oh my God.
The only thing is that has actually helped, I think, canteen. Like people, it's like more famous now. People like
this summer is the most famous it's ever been because of that chicken tender thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome, PJ. I want to switch gears though. I want to ask what you thought about in Just Like That. Because we haven't really talked.
That's so funny.
Wrap up. Just like, what did you think about how it kind of wrapped up?
Okay. In summary, I really thought it was going to be, I was shocked it got renewed for a third season. Like this felt like we were ramping up to a finale.
Yeah.
Where is left to go?
I know.
Like every storyline that has been played out, they've done before. Like all of Seema's stuff, they've done that before with either Samantha or other characters.
Yeah.
Like her falling in love in 2 seconds and then
Richard.
Or her being like the strong, powerful, like single woman and then saying I love you too quick. Yeah, by the way, that was Richard Wright. Samantha did this with Richard Wright.
Yeah, yeah.
Like every storyline has already been done. So are they just gonna do this forever? This show?
They can. And
I mean, and don't get me wrong, I will watch it. Yeah, that's the exactly. thing. I'm addicted to it. I will watch it till the wheels fall off. You want to know something crazy? I ran into Sada Ramirez twice this summer on Fire Island.
Oh, really? What? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I didn't interact, but I saw Sada Ramirez once in the Pines and once in Cherry Grove eating ice cream. Which I was
they were probably staying in Cherry Grove.
I was in line to get ice cream.
I don't know what I would say.
That's the thing. I don't know what I would say. It's like, I was like, oh, this would be amazing. But also, I feel this is a bad energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't get a good vibe. So I'm a little scared. But I don't know. What are we doing?
It's like really weird, Miranda? to make Carrie's now a sad cat lady who's going to wait 5 years for Aiden. Like, I thought the whole point was to like make her like, this was not the Carrie that we know, like to wait for 5 years for a man. And she's like the epitome of like what she was. She's the antithesis rather of what she was originally. And what is this house that she has? It's like, I miss the apartment. Like this is,
I only want to be in that apartment. Do not put me in a 3-bedroom big thing on
Gramercy Park. Sorry. Yeah,
but like, that's not, why do we want? So now we're stuck with this. How are they going to undo that?
I don't really fucking
They're probably
know.
Gonna have her move in with Miranda because Miranda's like on.
Did she sell the apartment to the young girl?
That's what we are supposed to believe.
Okay. I thought maybe she would have just kept it and sublet it.
That's what would make sense. But in the end, Seema was saying, like, you got this for like a steal. Like, that's so dumb. Why? I don't know.
I don't really understand what's going on.
And also, I'm sure the writers, and also I'm sure the writers will forget by next season. Yeah. And so they'll make it that she sublet it and then like she gets it back. They'll forget that they wrote that she sold it. So whatever.
I don't know. They'll be back, so I'll keep watching it. I don't really know. One story about New York that I'm actually really fucking enjoying, and I don't know, it's been like really up and down with people, the reception online, but I think overwhelmingly the people that have taste and that know are really enjoying Real Housewives of New York. Are you like, oh, what? You don't?
I? You're no. Like, okay. No. Listen, I ride so fucking hard. But my friend, who texted me today? Oh, my friend texted me today. I texted my friend, this week's episode of Roni was my favorite of the season.
Yes. And yeah, it's because they're finally activated.
And he responded, I think you're just dickmatized by Jenna Lyons.
It could be. Or do you like really love her? I think she's...
I think I'm in love.
I think that she's an excellent housewife. I think that she's breaking the mold of what people think a housewife should be. And I think that the whole point of housewives in general was to give you kind of like different glimpses of how women interact with each other in different locales. Phaedra is a very different housewife than Vicky, who's a very different housewife than Jenna Lyons. So who's, like, when people said she doesn't seem like housewife material, it's like, well, who's to say what that is? It's like,
well, you know what, but here's the thing.
A
person who seems like quote unquote housewife material
is probably not going to be done.
Is Jen Shah. That's housewife material. Yeah.
And that's what we end up getting, right?
It's those people who are these tryhards. You know who else is? Jennifer Aydin. Housewife material. These people who would just like do, and I could think of like a bunch of others.
Yeah.
But Jenna, I think, is the, I think Jenna and Erin are the two only aspirational ones. Jenna's the only truly aspirational one because she's self-made. Erin is she stepped into a family business and whatever. Mm-hmm. But listen, she's, you know, built a great life and career for herself. But yeah, tell me why you thought this episode was so good, because I loved it too. My friend,
oh my god,
was
it was
fucking crazy.
Multi-pronged, because again, going back to the Jenna stuff, this really cemented for me why Jenna is, and I'm saying this, I think that she is the most accomplished, the most influential housewife that we have ever had across any city, any franchise. Like when she was talking about how she works with the Rockefeller Center.
Yeah,
I was like, that 100. Is real New York. Like Ramona could never, Bethany could never. Like her and her mark is so indelible on this city. She is fine not doing this show, but we're lucky to have her. She's someone who is involved in the arts. She has a point of view. She has a good sense of taste and fashion. She's gay. She's like, she's got great taste in interior design. She could probably call up any fucking designer that you know in your, you know what I mean, in your brain.
Jenna Lyons,
this is the kind of person that you want on this kind of show.
Jenna Lyons is culture.
Yes, she's New York. She's so New York, and that's why it's like the only way to get someone of her caliber was to do a full sweep. And if that's what it took, then that's, she never would have done this show if it was like, sorry to say, like Luann and Dorinda.
I wouldn't be so sure about that.
She said,
I'm pretty sure.
And I think in an interview, she said, that's she bullshit. Sure. You don't think
that's
so?
Bullshit. No, I know it's not true.
Okay.
Yeah. Because she, first of all, had her other show, Stylish, on HBO Max, but also before the Roni split, before it was announced they were splitting it,
you
into
suggested
like legacy.
It.
Yes, I was part of the ecosystem that suggested it. And she was like, yes, like I would love to do that.
And then
our friend was like DMing her and they're like, send this to Andy. And it was the thing that I had created and put on YouTube. And so this was before it was even known that they were going to be.
But I think it planted an idea in his head.
Yeah.
And I think it's one thing to say in a DM that she thinks it would be interesting and quite another to actually sign the paperwork. And I think that probably to really do it, she probably would want to do, you know what I mean? Listen, I'm glad.
What's interesting is you just brought up a great point. So a lot of people, you know how in the show, it's all, you know, a lot of the women are like, oh, it's like you're just promoting your brand deals and whatever. Let me tell you something. Yeah. It is in her contract that she can promote all of her shit. That is why if you
take advantage of it
in his book, The Daddy Diaries. No, she's doing it in a way that other housewives wouldn't be allowed to. In the Daddy Diaries.
And by the way, it's really smart to be filming this during the holidays and slip it in as gifts. It seems like less abrasive. Totally. If anything, I think it's better. When Bethany was doing it, she had like ski equipment and sunglasses and
a
Volkswagen bug. Remember the bug?
Do you remember? Of course, I remember the bug.
You drive that everywhere?
And she's like,
you really drive that?
But do you remember the skinny girl snowboard?
I have a.
What is that?
A lover boy.
Oh my God. Oh, we need to talk. On my list, we're going to be going backward to lover boy. Thank you for.
I think we'll
that.
Probably talk about our list on the bonus episode. I think that's probably what we'll.
Oh my God, really? I was so excited to go.
Okay, well, how about this? We'll start your list. We'll both do one of ours and then we'll carry it over onto the, because I feel like we're 40 minutes in. So.
Oh, okay. So should I pitch one to you and then you tell me which one you want to do on the main one?
Yes, but really quick, before we get off of Roni, I just want to know, I want to go person to person. What do you think of each cast member? What do you think about Sai?
No.
We're all over the place, guys. We're
jumping around. Pass. Like I would like X her out.
Oh, you don't think you would want to see her a second season?
Don't care.
Okay.
Because I liked her backstory, but that doesn't give you permission to be a totally obnoxious.
I think too soon to say for me.
Okay.
But I wanted so much more from her. I'm
gonna give you just quick response. I'm giving you my first thought response. So my first response is next, not interested. Jessel is funny. I love that she doesn't know where she is. I like that.
Deliciously Delulu.
The scenes with the husband are fucking truly hilarious.
Yes. Yes. I think they're my favorite couple on Bravo, and I'm not just saying this. Like, they are so good together. I could watch them forever.
He is the first New York quote unquote husband to be in the chair, I think, since Mario.
Yeah. He's just so likable. Like, he's just like, he's very like, he doesn't care that the cameras are there. He's just going to be.
When you interviewed Jessel, did you happen to ask if he did in fact go to Vietnam to get a sandwich?
I didn't ask, but I will.
Okay. Can you follow up?
I'll try to follow up.
I bet you Andy asks that at the reunion.
But he did follow me on Instagram, guys. So I will ask him on there.
I love that for you.
we love Jessel and Pavitt, like the best. What do you think about, well, obviously you said Erin, aspirational. She's great housewife.
I love Erin.
Don't like love her, but like, I think that she serves her purpose on this show. And it's not intended to like love everybody.
Well, I think she's great entertainment. I think she's, she's incredibly watchable. So
I think that, and I agree with Jessel about this. Jessel said on the episode that we recorded, I asked her which girl she thinks will last the longest, go the furthest on this, kind of end up being the OG of this. And she thinks Erin would.
I see
and
it.
I think so. I see it.
Yeah.
I think Erin's in this for the long run.
Mm.
Yeah.
Love it.
What do you think about Bren?
She reminds me of she reminds me of like Whitney on Salt Lake City for some reason.
Yeah, try hard.
Yeah.
Not try hard. That's terrible. That makes it sound like, no, I like Bren. I don't know. It's hard with this dynamic. I feel like she gives what needs to be given and she is the energy in the room. But I sometimes wish there was someone to match her energy so it wasn't on her, because then it feels like she's on. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we need, and I think that's probably what was supposed to end up happening with the original girl, Lizzie. Like, she was kooky and I thought that that would have played together. And apparently, according to Page Six, they did fight and butt heads. Mm-hmm. And that's why, and I think that that's what was supposed to happen. But now it's really all on Bren to kind of carry this kind of like, but I think in like a different dynamic, I think Bren would be like literally everyone's fan favorite.
Yeah.
Who's to say she's not?
Yeah, agree.
I don't mean to shit on Bren. I like her. I think she's definitely come back second season. Uba.
I love that she is on her own spinoff within Roni.
She is filming a completely different show and she's just like,
I would like to do a taste test of Uba Hot.
Yeah. I bet it's good.
I'm ready.
I bet it's good.
They're going to bring everybody back.
Yeah.
It's going to be the exact same cast.
Maybe
and then
plus one person.
They're going to fill the seventh slot.
And I hope it's maybe someone a little bit closer to Jenna's age.
Yes.
We could use like a little bit older energy and then it'll be perfect.
Yes.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I want like a businesswoman, like a really like.
Yes. And I predict, well, I hope, I don't predict it, but I hope now that Jenna is dating somebody who, Jenna is dating this like power lesbian, yeah, this like, yeah, New York power lesbian. She's a photographer of like, yeah, the Annie Leibovitz kind. And she seems to be fine, like having her photo posted like directly to Grid. Yeah. So I think we're going to see her, or at least be open to talking about her, yeah, on the show.
Yeah.
And I am very here for that.
Yeah. I'm loving it. I think it's a great show.
What did you think of the what do you think of the Salt Lake City premiere?
Well, let's talk about that on the other side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I really want to get into that with you.
Okay.
Give me your first thing from your list and then we'll kind of.
Okay. Well, I'm going to let you pick because they're equally juicy. Okay. I'm going to let you pick what we want to do on here. Number one, the Lindsay Carl breakup. I can Lindsay talk Carl for breakup. Hours. Are you sure?
Let's do
it. You want to hear the other option?
What's the other option?
The Heather McDonald, Jeff Lewis, Real Housewives.
Okay, we'll get that out of the way because I don't care about Heather. So like, I know of it. So you tell me about the Heather McDonald and Jeff Lewis.
You want to do that and save Lindsay and Carl for the bonus?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. God, this is what he chose. These were the things I came with. Okay. So what?
Lindsay
what
and Carl are like kind of officially kind of called off the wedding, but not broken up. Right. That's what the news is. That we're talking about Summer House guys.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know because their wedding website is still up, but like, we'll go into detail about that.
The wedding website.
We'll go into detail about that in the bonus one. So what do you know? What do you know about the Heather McDonald, Jeff Lewis, Justin Martindale? That's the comedian. What do you know so far?
I don't like this woman. So I really try to like, I see her name and I like run the other way. I think she's so like abrasive.
Sounds like if. Okay, it sounds like your team, Justin. Okay.
It seems like she fights everybody. Like, right? She's fought with, like, everybody. She, like, and she's really good friends with, like, Jill Zarin and, like... Or do you know Heather McDonald?
No. I'm just reacting to you. I'm just listening.
So then Jeff Lewis and her apparently were, like, best friends, right? Because they're both, like, two terrible people.
They've known each other for 30 years. They went to college together.
Yeah, water finds its own level. I don't know, shitty people find shitty people. They're both people that just kind of like have people that fall in and out of their lives, like, you know.
Yes.
But I think that I read somewhere it had to do with like she borrowed a pair of earrings from somebody and went on vacation.
So the earring thing is actually just a footnote in the more important story. That is a thing that Jeff Lewis brought to the table as like a way to really publicly embarrass her. But that's actually not the real story. The story is really about this comedian, Justin Martindale. Well, he is a real housewife.
Okay.
100%. Like his radio show is a reality show. He'll talk about child custody stuff. Every time he breaks up with his boyfriend, like they talk about it.
He's kind of like a Vicky Gunvalson. No, he's like not, you know.
Well, what he's really doing.
He's a gay Republican. He gives that.
Would not be surprised.
Would not be shocked.
You just hit it so far on the head. I like, would not be. What happened was. This comedian, Justin Martindale, who had been on Heather's show many times, he basically was asking to get paid and for appearances because on Jeff Lewis's show, they get paid. So that was like one segment of this falling out. And I think she did pay him the last few times. How Jeff gets roped into this is that he had mentioned to Heather, I'm thinking of having, they share a lot. The thing is both Heather and Jeff share a lot of the same guests on their shows. Like literally every week, every other week, they will have the same rotating cast of Jill Zarin, comedians. It's the same people on their shows. Oh my God,
Jill Zarin, how'd they get her? She must be so booked up. So busy.
And apparently Heather said to him, please don't book Justin Martin. He was like, I'm thinking of asking Justin Martindale on. And this happened like a year ago. She said, please don't have Justin on. Like our shows are getting too similar. And he said, he agreed to it. This was on the phone. And then Jeff Lewis ran into Justin at a party and they're like, Hey. He's like, I would love to have you on my show, but Heather McDonald said I can't. So he was starting the housewife. Starting the shit. This is him being a housewife in real life. And this of kicked off a series of Patreons that Heather did, sort of like telling all her side to her audience. And then Jeff would then go on the radio and then tell a lot of shit.
So in a way, by them stirring up this drama between themselves, is kind of like a secret business venture in a way, because they're both monetizing.
They're both running all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
So that's the story. And the nuance of it, you really would, well, I'm sure it's all written down in Reddit, in some Reddit thread, but you would have to listen to, like, I think the two or three Patreon episodes that Heather did, and then Jeff Lewis, his episodes are all on YouTube, so you can just watch those for free.
I ain't watching any of this shit.
Okay, these people, well, I'm just,
no, but I love it. No, but I'm glad that you are explaining it to me. I've been
obsessed with it all week.
Yeah.
Every day was a new adventure.
I'm surprised Heather McDonald's not ever been a Real Housewife of the OC.
That's an interesting point. I think in the very early days, she may have wanted to be.
But it kind of doesn't make sense. It's too meta. It's like, that's. Like,
and then it became too meta. Yeah.
The first thing on my list is, and this will send us into the bonus episode, is the Real Mob Wives of Salt Lake City. I want to talk more about the episode in the bonus, but I just want to say that I'm really shocked by the opening with like this slow motion and they're all wearing the fur coats. And I was like, you know, I was sure that they were going to separate themselves from the Shaw drama of it all and the darkness of kind of what permeated the entire third season was the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any normal show would try to separate itself from the darkness and the legal drama and the criminality of that kind of era. But no, this show said, we're going to lean into it and we are going to go full on Mob Wives drama. And you know what? I think it was a really smart move for them because it was like, if we're not going to focus so much on the religious stuff, which the show began with, and that was truly its identity. But when you got rid of Mary, a preacher, you really didn't have too much featured about the Mormon church, because we can't film in the Mormon church and the people really in the Mormon church wouldn't want to be on the show. So it kind of lost that identity and it kind of just became about Jen Shaw. But now it's like, I feel like they've really leaned into it. And for some reason, it's just like really working. It's kind of like given this show a new identity in the Housewives lexicon. Like it's like New Jersey and this show are on the same level of like slow motion walking with a fur coat and just like screaming at each other. And it's just like, it's just like giving Mob Wives in a way that like OC could never, like New York would never in a million years. You know what I mean? I feel like it's kind of carved out this space.
The new Roni is the exact opposite of Salt Lake City.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. But I just feel like, I guess I'm just really happy that they kind of decided to dig in, because I would not have thought that this would have worked. And having the FBI informant on as a housewife.
Her name's Monica, right?
Monica, yeah. For some reason, she's giving me kind of like Kelly Dodd. She's giving me...
She came out of the oven fully cooked, a fully cooked housewife the way Dorinda did.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like in that, like, she was ready to talk shit. She knew the backstory. She has insider information and she's like, all right, let's go. I'm ready to, like, I'm not shy.
Yeah.
I'm full on. And so I was quite taken aback by her in a great way.
Yeah. I'm happy. I think it was a great first episode.
Spectacular first episode.
Yeah.
Salt Lake City, the past few years, it sort of, I'll get to like episode 5 and then I get bored and then I never continue with it. So it's, I'm sure that'll happen again.
It's early to say. Yeah. But I feel like this is promise.
They always have great openers and like a great, like, you know, sort of halfway point. They have standout episodes, you know, Meredith in the tub.
Yeah.
I love Meredith Marks so much.
She's shown up now.
I love her. She has a whole new face.
She really does.
She's unrecognizable. And I thought she was like very beautiful, like 1.0. She didn't have to do anything.
No, I agree. She's a gorgeous woman. I want to go to the bonus episode, but let's tell the people where to find your podcast. There's Hot Takes and Deep Dives. That's the main podcast. You have some fun people on there. Actually, Jenny Bix, who's like an executive producer and a writer for Salt Lake City, Sex and the City. She's on there recently, so I think that's interesting. But you created Finding Fire Island, and that's the show that we were talking about the entire episode, guys. I implore you guys, like, please check it out. It's great. I'm going to listen to every episode.
Thank you so much.
I think it's only like 8 episodes, right?
It's 8 episodes, yeah. And then I had enough leftover material for like a bonus of just like fun, you know, more Brian Moylan sex stories.
it's like the time flies. It's like, it's really good. If you've ever been interested in like just gay history and like the history of Fire Island, it's super interesting from like really interest. Like, I was always shocked by other people that would just pop up, and then this person, and I was like, oh wow, they sat down, and then they're telling like, oh, they're telling everything. Okay, so
it's very juicy. Like, if juicy. You're into like gossip and Fire Island and gay shit and New York City history, you'll like it.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah,
Finding Fire Island's the podcast. Guys, go to patreon.com/theBlist and subscribe to the bonus episode of this. It's going to be the B-side. And we are going to continue talking over there about Salt Lake City. We're going to finish our lists. I'm going to tell you my list. Jess is going to tell you hers. We're going to talk about the real mob wives of Salt Lake City more. And then I want to tell you a little bit about OC. I know you're not watching, but I want to tell you reasons why you should be.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Yeah. Guys, we'll be on the B-side. Love you. Thanks for listening. Subscribe. Bye.